Mrs. May is the president of St. Louis Women's Missionary Union. She has served as my co-chairman and chairman of hospitality. Mrs. William Perdue. Mrs. Perdue has served as chairman of ushers. You will be seeing her committee in each session, and now we want you to meet them en masse, our ushers. Miss Pauline Mott, chairman of Pages. Miss Helen Trable, chairman of Arrangements for Committee Rooms. Mrs. Carl Combs, chairman of Decorations. Mrs. Lee Bruns, chairman of Registration. Mrs. Sterling Price, Courtesy Cars. Mrs. Herbert Kuntz, Chairman of Publicity. Miss Mary Lou Moore, Chairman of First Aid, the daughter of our missionaries in Rome, Italy. Mrs. Wilford Lehman, Signs. Mrs. J.E. Hewlett, Chairman of Information. Mrs. Wren Beatty, Chairman of Sunbeam Anniversary Presentation. Mrs. Grover Kagey, Lounges. Mrs. Mac Douglas, Chairman of Nursery. Mrs. A.R. Evans, Check Room. Mrs. F.L. Eaton, Chairman of Home Assignments. Some years ago, as we were departing from a home where we had been weekend guests, we were attempting to thank our hostess for her hospitality when she surprised us by interrupting to say that she was the one who wanted to say thank you for coming. She explained that she was always grateful when Christians came into her home because of the blessings they brought and the influence on their children. Whenever a great group of Baptist women like you comes to our city, you help us to exalt Christ and the name Baptist and lift up the Christ whom we serve to the people of St. Louis. So we want to say thank you for coming. Thank you for this wonderful fellowship. Thank you for making it possible for us to share in these great spiritual blessings which are in store for us these days. Thank you for helping us make Christ known in St. Louis.
Now, in the last session of this meeting, these women will be further thanked by a committee appointed to express our appreciations. And so I would like to appoint this appreciation committee: Ms. Josephine Jones of Florida, chairman; Mrs. Claude Kirkpatrick of Louisiana; Ms. Clara Lane of California; Ms. Nina Martin of Kentucky; Ms. Beverly Hammock of Kansas. I shall also appoint a resolutions committee: Mrs. J.I. Alford of Georgia, Mrs. B. Lloyd Parsons of Alabama, Mrs. Clem Hardy, Texas, Miss Margaret Hutchison, Oklahoma, Miss Nancy Cooper, Arkansas.
Let us stand and sing "Am I a Soldier of the Cross," hymn number 2. Let us stand as we sing.
Thank you.
During 1962, the theme of the Baptist Jubilee Advance will be Church Extension, Our Churches Reaching Out, Forming Missions, and Organizing Churches. And so for this annual meeting, we chose as our theme, Ye Shall Be Witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Our missionaries are going to tell us about some of the churches where they work, the people who belong to those churches, and the influence of the churches in the communities where we have missions. Coming first this morning to share with us the story of a church in Nigeria is Mrs. E.P. Dozier, who works there with her doctor husband, Dr. Bud Dozier. Mrs. Dozier.
In the western part of Africa, in the country of Nigeria, and in the town of Shaki, you find the Ajagunle Baptist Church. This is the church home of Dr. Dozier and I, as we have been your Southern Baptist missionaries in Shaki for the last 3 years. This is the church where we have our membership, and it's our home church. When we placed our membership in this church in 1957, she had no pastor. Instead of a pastor, laymen were leading the services on each Sunday morning and each Sunday afternoon. You see, we have no electricity in the churches there, so we have no evening meetings. Even on Sunday, it is an afternoon service. Dr. Dozier and I immediately saw the need and the great blessings that a pastor could bring to this congregation. But you know, we missionaries have to play it kind of sly. When you have an idea like this, you don't just come right out and say it, but you have to kind of work it around to where the people see the need, and it comes as their idea. And so we started talking among the members as we had them in our home and as we visited in their homes concerning the calling of a pastor to this church. And then one Sunday morning following the morning service, in a two-hour business session, the decision was reached that Ajagunle Baptist Church should have a pastor. And a call was issued to Pastor Abel Alabi in a neighboring association to us. A single man, a man a graduate of our Baptist seminary in Ogbomoshaw, a man of 3 years pastoral experience. In the month of January 1958, Pastor Abel came to our field. And what a change has been wrought in this church since we have had a seminary-trained man on the field. Immediately, he organized our once haphazard Sunday school into age groups and assigned certain rocks in the churchyard where each class should meet. I once said, without the granite stones around Shaki, I don't know what we'd do for educational space, because that's where we have our Sunday school classes. And on this rock was the beginner class and then the primary class, and on up he organized. And then he organized a training union where we had had no training union at all. And then in addition to this, he greatly strengthened our WMU organization that met on Friday afternoons. One day the pastor was visiting two of his church members, we missionaries, in our home. And as he sat there on my couch, I asked him, I said, Pastor, tell me about your conversion experience and how did you come to know the Lord? Pastor Abel told us that morning of how in the early 1950s, he was a school teacher in the town of Okehoe in a neighboring association. The missionary advisor in Okeho Association at that time was our own beloved Wimpy Harper. And he came on to tell that Wimpy came to him in the schoolroom and had him into his home and told him about Jesus Christ, and there he was converted. And following that, he felt God's call to him to preach. He had already had his elementary school education. He was eligible immediately to enter the seminary. And so Wimpy and Juanita assisted him through the seminary. It was a thrill to me because Wimpy and Juanita were such great friends of ours before Wimpy lost his life, you know, in East Africa in 1958. I said in the first place that Pastor Abel was a single man. He was. Soon after this time, a young, beautiful girl by the name of Dorcas came to the hospital in Shockey to make application to apply to be a ward aide at the hospital. And Dr. Dosher told her that all the applications had been met for that year and we would have no other openings until January following for a female ward aide at the hospital. But you know, they don't take no for an answer that easily. They're very persistent people. And so she came every morning for 2 weeks, making the same application and the same plea. Please, doctor, I need a job and I want to work. And if doctor was too busy at the hospital to see her, she just passed right by the hospital and up the road to our house and came to me and said, please, Ma, will you beg your husband for me? And when she thought that wasn't going to be strong enough, she had many of her friends to come. You see, that's a custom of the Nigerian people, that they want you to help them beg someone else in their behalf. And so she sent her friends, and even her old father came, saying, please, my daughter must have work. And as we looked into her background, we found that the reason of her strong interest was that she was Pastor Abel Alabi's intended. He was her fiancé. And they were to be married the following December, and she needed a job to save money toward her trousseau. She was given a job in the hospital. And on December the 26th of that year, I witnessed the most beautiful Christian wedding I have ever seen. Two Nigerian young people marrying for love instead of the old tribal customs of the father choosing the bridegroom for his daughter, possibly a very elderly man who already had several wives, but not that situation at all. These two people led together by the Lord in Christian experience. And there they were dressed in their true Yoruba costumes. But in a Christian ceremony in the First Baptist Church of Shockey, these two were joined together. The following year, their first child, a son, was born named Ayodele. You know, in Nigeria, and especially among the Yoruba tribe, every Yoruba name has a particular meaning. Ayo is happiness. De has arrived. Ile is my house. And so they named their first child Ayodele, meaning happiness has come to our home. With Dorcas by his side, giving him wonderful assistance, the church, true to all American churches, I presume, went into a building program. I haven't found any churches yet that aren't in some type of building program, I think. We now have the land, the site chosen, the rock is chipped for a foundation of a new auditorium. And then in a letter just last week from Pastor Abel, he says, they have plans now and have voted to build a pastorium. So I feel that with their willingness to put forth the expense in a pastorium, that our pastor is there to stay. The Sunday school attendance since his coming to the field has doubled. In 1957, we were averaging 40 to 50 in Sunday school. Last year, we averaged 118 people per Sunday in our Sunday school. In addition to this, the offerings also have doubled. In 1957, the total gifts for all causes from this church in our money was equal to $590. Last year, the church gave $1,225. You go to the people now, even the elderly men who are certainly the men who dominate the business situation of the church, and ask them concerning their pastor. And they say, we can't afford to have a pastor, as they had told us previously. Now they say, we cannot afford not to have a pastor. Some of the members in this church have become very, very dear friends of ours. Across town from this church and the Baptist Hospital in Shockey, we have the Ela Memorial Baptist Girls School. And from this school have come many, many graduates and teachers and headmasters who have helped in the churches throughout our association in all 28 churches in our area. Pastor Abel's wife, by the way, is a graduate of Elam. The Sunday school superintendent at Ajagunle Baptist Church is Mr. Awanlala, and he is our Sunday school superintendent. He is the headmaster at the school, a wonderful Christian man with a wonderful testimony for the Lord, one of the sweetest families I've ever met. His wife had two children, had a history of a number of miscarriages. She came to the hospital and had treatment, and then gave birth to one other live son. Oh, what a joy as he ran up the half mile to our house and said, "Please, Ma, I asked God for a healthy baby, and not only that, he gave me a son." And that's the appreciation that the people have shown in every realm. The music director at the Ajagunle Baptist Church was Ezekiel Ojo. In his earlier days, we have been told that he was a pawn slave. And our older missionaries in the Shawkey Station, Mr. and Mrs. Powell, who are now retired, purchased this fellow's freedom from his slavery, sent him through school, educated him all the way through teacher training college. And last year, he moved from Shawkey, 50 miles north of us, to another tribe of people. He's Yoruba. He has now gone 50 miles to the north to the Ibaraba people. And there he is a school teacher and a missionary in his own rights, as this Christian man has gone to another tribe. Another person in the church, many of our nurses at the hospital are members of this church. Mr. and Ms. Timothy Ogun Jimmy, Mr. and Mrs. Ida Juwan, Ida Lakey. Let me tell you one illustration of Mr. and Ms. Ida Juwan. The missionaries who are older in Shawkey than we have told us they knew when their wedding took place too. Now their oldest girl is in high school. One afternoon, Dr. Dosha was called to the emergency room at the hospital about 5 o'clock. And when he reached the emergency room, there he saw Mr. and Mrs. Ida Lakey with their oldest son, Eman, stretched out on the table with severe stomach cramps. Mr. Ida Lakey had ministered to patients over 13, 14 years there in the hospital and surrounding clinics. But somehow it was a different situation this day because it was Eman on the table. As doctor examined him, he found that it was acute appendicitis. And he turned to Mr. Lakey and he said, "Sir, you know yourself, it's appendicitis and we must operate immediately." Of course, Miss Ida Lakey turned to him and he said, but please, doctor, you don't understand. That's my oldest son there and you're going to operate." And doctor said, "Yes, if you want to save his life, that's what it will take." And so doctor sent word to the hospital, to the house, that he wouldn't be home for dinner at the usual hour, which is pretty usual anyway. The operating room was prepared, and a man was taken to surgery. When word reached the house that it was Mr. and Mrs. Ida Juwan's son, they're very dear friends of mine. She's my associational WMU treasurer. I went immediately to the hospital to sit with them those long hours of operation. And as we sat there on the front porch of the hospital, leaned over the banister, and by this it was dark, and we'd lit up our little kerosene lantern there that they always carry with them, Mr. Ida Lakey turned to me, and over and over and over again, he kept saying, "Mrs. Dosher, do you know, it's my son, my oldest boy, up there." I've heard so much talk since we've been home about Africa's millions, so many in this country and so many in that country, and the population explosion. Christian women, you can talk about population explosion and the millions of people around the world if you want to. But when you go there and work with them and see them and make friends with them, they're people, they're individuals, they're friends of mine. There are people there who are lost and going to hell unless they too hear of Jesus. Will you not pray for this church, for these people, for this pastor and his lovely wife, for each individual member, that they will continue to grow, that they will continue to seek God's leadership? Many of the people in my area have come to me and said, "Mrs. Dosher, is it right that you and your children have college educations and our children cannot even read and write?" No, it isn't right. I trust and pray that we as Christian people shall be leaders in this world situation to change the present crisis.
And now we hear about another church in another area of the world, the Far East. From the Philippines, Mrs. H.D. Olive comes to tell us about a little church there, the people who belong to it, and who work with Dr. and Mrs. Olive, our missionaries, alongside other missionaries in the Philippines.
I'm sure that many of you have heard about the Mathis Hunt Globetrotting Team. They came to our place 2 years ago. Now, we had never known them very personally, just formally through letter correspondence. Formally, that is, if you consider a salutation to a letter by one Alma Hunt, "Dear Stuffed Olives." But they sat in our midst in the station meeting and told us about your meeting of 2 years ago and brought us up to date, and we just felt in on the know. Why, they even told us about those women who appeared in the same hat or the same dresses on the platform. But there is one thing that I felt compelled to share with you about that visit. Following their departure, one little child was heard to remark, "Aren't they the cutest things? They're just like two little bitty girls." I thought you ought to know this so that next time you could send with them a chaperone. Please, sir, please, ma'am, won't you come to our place and teach the Bible and hold services in order that our people might know Christ? Such a call, such a plea came from the Nationals to the Robert Ricketsons some 7 years ago. Paul certainly could not have had a more urgent cry in his Macedonian experience. Envision, if you can, the thrill of that call to a country of islands in the sea, 7,000 pieces of land, if you please, reputed to be 95% Catholic. The response to that call brought about the birth of the Baptist Church, the Aurora Hill Baptist Church in Baguio, Philippines. The great missionary Livingston once said, "If you succeed without suffering, it is because someone has suffered before you. If you suffer without succeeding, it is because someone will suffer following you." A more perfect picture of our mission work could not be painted than that. For just as the rocks and stones are stacked in a pyramid to come to a pinnacle climax, so our work, effort upon effort, soul upon soul, build one upon the other. When we went to the Philippines in 1956, the Robert Ricketsons were just leaving on furlough. The Aurora Hill Baptist Church, then but 3 years old, was meeting in a two-story rented residence. Dr. Olive became pastor of that church, and the next 2 years were up and down days. Negotiations had already been started for a lot, and it was completed. And then we learned that the building code in that community would not permit the church building, and that just as the architect was finishing his drawings for the structure. What was the Lord trying to say to us? An inopportune time? Do not build in this spot. Give your attention to the outstation work rather than the mother church? Or was it that we should exert our effort on the seminary campus or in a downtown area for another church? It left us with a feeling of frustration and thwarting. And so one night at a prayer meeting, we asked the Lord if he would give us a very definite sign, signal of his will for this church. Not many days passed until we learned that the building and lot in the building of which we were then meeting was available for purchase. And we considered this an answer to God's answer to our prayer, and yet we still weren't quite sure what should take place, because no more ground level expansion would be permitted because of the building laws. Our architect studied the building, and then he discovered that by literally encasing the church with new walls and gutting out the interior, he could produce the sanctuary and suspend a wing from the second floor. And so, though we started, admittedly, with little faith, it grew as a mustard seed as we began to see this church develop, the people in their enthusiasm respond to the completion of this structure. I'd like to tell you about one of our finest national Christians, Maria Ligo. Maria is an unusual Filipina because she came from a Christian background. She has a good education, 5 years training in the States due to the fact that her husband, a blind veteran of Bataan, came here to study. Now, Mr. Ligo was an unbeliever and not often came to our services at first, but Mrs. Ligo and their six little boys could always be counted upon at every service. Did we need a vacation Bible school superintendent? Ask Mrs. Ligo. Who could comprehend our needs of the Sunday school? Mrs. Ligo. Who could pinpoint any difficulty in a ticklish situation? Only Mrs. Ligo. Our most ardent soul winner? Mrs. Ligo, of course. 4 years ago, we saw her husband come to know the Lord, and then a wonderful thing happened. He has an unusual ability of gathering the blind children of the province and bringing them together in a school in the YMCA there in Baguio and teaching them. And then we began to see that that teaching became a spiritual instruction also. He asked for literature in Braille that he might have, and our Sunday school board is now sending him the Sunday school lessons. Then we began to notice that there were some blind children coming regularly to our church, and we learned that they were walking many miles to get there. But an electrifying incident occurred at the end of one of our services when the invitation to accept the Lord was given. One of the oldest blind boys slowly and cautiously made his way down the aisle with his little cane. And then we noticed something else, that the blind were literally leading the blind, for holding to his shirt was another blind girl, and she in turn had the hand of her friend, and the three came forward to accept Christ. All of this because a woman and two of her friends invited the missionaries to come out to our place and teach about Christ. Dr. Olive was invited by one of our very fine school teachers to come down the mountain an hour and a half's drive to preach. He and his wife had started Sunday school work there under the auspices of the Aurora Hill Church in an outstation effort, but they had never had a preacher. Dr. Olive went down and had many conversions that morning, and many of those later were baptized into the Mother Church, our Aurora Hill Baptist Church. And a few weeks later, Wesley Hamandri stood at our door in Baguio City and had this to say: "The Lord has called me to be a preacher. I was one of those that you baptized, Dr. Olive, not long ago, and I want to enter your seminary." Kindly, he attempted to tell him the entrance regulations and suggested that he go back and wait a year and return for entrance. 1 week later, Wesley was knocking at our door again. And again, he was instructed to go back, encouraged to go back and wait. The third time he came and was told the same thing in different words, he dropped his head and he said these words: "Sir, the Lord has spoken to me, and now I must go home and wait until he speaks to you." It pricked our consciences, and so that called for another prayer meeting. And 2 months later, Wesley was enrolled as one of our students in the seminary. My husband likes to tell that this young man has become a powerhouse through the art of interpretation. Oh, he had a message for his people he wanted to share with them, But he couldn't say the words. He didn't yet have the knowledge for a sermon. And yet he could take the missionary sermons and interpret them and present them even better than any seasoned preacher you have ever known. Through the short span of the years that we have been an organized church, we have had 4 missionary pastors. 2 months ago, Wesley graduated from the seminary, and Aurora Hill Church called him as her first pastor. He who had been serving already 3 years as associate pastor.